and tell your people, hey, revolution rising. Yeah, yeah. Proof. Yes. Watch out.
That's Italian musician, producer, and composer Andrea Bernini, known professionally as Mop Mop, along with Columbus, Georgia-born and raised Fred Wesley. You might know him as the trombonist featured in James Brown's music, and before that with Funkadelic, before that Parliament, and even with the Count Basie Orchestra. And spoken word artist and musician Anthony Joseph from my homeland of Trinidad. He also lives in Britain. That's called Runaround. A very good topic, a very good musical lead into our topic today. It's from Mop Mop's 2013 album, Isle of Magic. This is Lead Stories. I'm Yatrice Lead, and yep, we're headed right back to yesterday's program. You know how we do it, because something big and very, very wrong went down yesterday, and we need to really understand it. As you know, I'm referring to the pronouncement by the director of the FBI, James Comey, regarding the FBI's investigation of Hillary Clinton's email debacle and his finding that there was no real reason to recommend indictment or to recommend that charges, formerly criminal charges, should be brought against her. There were many examples of irresponsible and extremely careless behavior with regard to her treatment of, and the staff's treatment of, classified, highly classified, top secret information. But there was no intention of doing anything wrong. So there was no need to recommend to the Department of Justice, the U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch, that criminal charges be brought against Clinton. Now, that isn't, just because they said it doesn't mean that's the end of things. But it is important to not just accept what is said. It is important to kind of really understand the elements of what was said and how they factor into the political reality that we collectively are experiencing. So you know how I like to do this. We will parse the words of FBI Director Comey. He had a news conference that went over just a bit over 15 minutes, but he laid out, at least he thought he did, he laid out the case yesterday in an unusual news conference. He did so, he said, to assure the nation that the matter was looked into exhaustively. Everyone in the prosecutorial crosshairs, was completely open and cooperative. And as director of the agency, he couldn't be more proud of the job and of the way the investigation was handled and, more importantly, brought to a close. Clinton did get a few slaps on the wrist, as I said, from Comey for mishandling classified information and for inspiring similar recklessness by staff, but there was no evidence of criminal conduct, he said. So let's listen to Director James Comey of the FBI and how he laid this discussion out. I want you to listen very, very intently, because right after that, we will come to your calls about what was said. Other than, you know, on the surface, what was said, what's underneath it. All right, so let's begin with the news conference called yesterday by FBI Director James Comey. Here's what he said.
Give you an update on the FBI's investigation of Secretary Clinton's use of a personal email system during her time as Secretary of State. After a tremendous amount of work over the last year, the FBI is completing its investigation and referring the matter to the Department of Justice for a prosecutive decision. What I want to do today is three things. I want to tell you what we did, I want to tell you what we found, and I want to tell you what we're recommending to the Department of Justice. This is going to be an unusual statement in at least a couple of ways. First, I'm going to include more detail about our process than I ordinarily would, because I think the American people deserve those details in a case of intense public interest. And second, I have not coordinated this statement or reviewed it in any way with the Department of Justice or any other part of the government. They do not know what I'm about to say. But I want to start by thanking the FBI employees who did remarkable work in this case. Once you have a better sense of how much we have done, you will understand why I am so grateful and so proud of their work. So first, what we have done. This investigation began as a referral from the Intelligence Community Inspector General in connection with Secretary Clinton's use of a personal email server during her time as Secretary of State. The referral focused on whether classified information was transmitted on that personal system. Our investigation looked at whether there is evidence that classified information was improperly stored or transmitted on that personal system in violation of a federal statute that makes it a felony to mishandle classified information either intentionally or in a grossly negligent way, or a second statute making it a misdemeanor to knowingly remove classified information from appropriate systems or storage facilities. And consistent with our counterintelligence responsibilities, we have also investigated to determine if there is evidence of computer intrusion by nation states or by hostile actors of any kind. Now, I have so far used the singular term email server in describing the referral that began our investigation. It turns out to have been more complicated than that. Secretary Clinton used several different servers and administrators of those servers during her 4 years at the State Department. And she also used numerous mobile devices to send and to read email on that personal domain. As new servers and equipment were employed, older servers were taken out of service, stored, and decommissioned in various ways. Piecing all of that back together to gain as full an understanding as possible of the ways in which personal email was used for government work has been a painstaking undertaking, requiring thousands of hours of effort. For example, when one of Secretary Clinton's servers was decommissioned in 2013, the email software was removed. That didn't remove the email content, but it was like removing the frame from a huge unfinished jigsaw puzzle and then dumping all the pieces on the floor. The effect was that millions of email fragments ended up in the server's unused or slack space. We searched through all of it to understand what was there and what parts of the puzzle we could put back together again. FBI investigators also read all of the approximately 30,000 emails that Secretary Clinton provided to the State Department in 2014. where an email was assessed as possibly containing classified information. The FBI referred that email to any government agency that might be an owner of that information, so that agency could make a determination as to whether the email contained classified information at the time it was sent or received, or whether there was reason to classify it now, even if the content had not been classified when it was first sent or received. And that's the process sometimes referred to as up-classifying. From the group of 30,000 emails returned to the State Department in 2014, 110 emails in 52 email chains have been determined by the owning agency to contain classified information at the time they were sent or received. 8 of those chains contained information that was top secret at the time they were sent. 36 of those chains contained secret information at the time, and 8 contained confidential information at the time. That's the lowest level of classification. Separate from those, about 2,000 additional emails were upclassified to make them confidential. Those emails had not been classified at the time that they were sent or received. The FBI also discovered several thousand work-related emails that were not among the group of 30,000 emails returned by Secretary Clinton to state in 2014. We found those emails in a variety of ways. Some had been deleted over the years, and we found traces of them on servers or devices that had been connected to the private email domain. Others we found by reviewing the archived government accounts of people who had been government employees at the same time as Secretary Clinton, including high-ranking officials at other agencies, folks with whom a Secretary of State might normally correspond. This helped us recover work-related emails that were not among the 30,000 that were produced to state. Still others we recovered from that painstaking review of the millions of email fragments dumped into the slack space of the server that was decommissioned in 2013. With respect to the thousands of emails we found that were not among those produced to the State Department, agencies have concluded that 3 of those were classified at the time they were sent or received, 1 at the secret level and 2 at the confidential level. There were no additional top secret emails found. And finally, none of those we found have since been upclassified. I should add here that we found no evidence that any of the additional work-related emails were intentionally deleted in an effort to conceal them in some way. Our assessment is that, like many email users, Secretary Clinton periodically deleted emails or emails were purged from her system when devices were changed. Because she was not using a government account or even a commercial account like Gmail, there was no archiving at all of her emails. So it's not surprising that we discovered emails that were not on Secretary Clinton's system in 2014 when she produced those 30,000-some emails to state. It could also be that some of the additional work-related emails that we've recovered were among those deleted as personal by her lawyers when they reviewed and sorted her emails for production in late 2014. The lawyers doing the sorting for Secretary Clinton in 2014 did not individually read the content of all of her emails as we did for those available to us. Instead, they relied on header information, and they used search terms to try to find all work-related emails among the reportedly more than 60,000 that were remaining on her system at the end of 2014. It's highly likely that their search missed some work-related emails and that we later found them, for example, in the mailboxes of other officials or in the slack space of a server. It's also likely that there are other work-related emails that they did not produce to state and that we did not find elsewhere and that are now gone because they deleted all emails they did not produce to state, and the lawyers then cleaned their devices in such a way as to preclude complete forensic recovery. We have conducted interviews and done technical examination to attempt to understand exactly how that sorting was done by her attorneys. Although we don't have complete visibility because we're not able to fully reconstruct the electronic record of that sorting, we believe our investigation has been sufficient to give us reasonable confidence there was no intentional misconduct in connection with that sorting effort. And of course, in addition to our technical work, we interviewed many people, from those involved in setting up the personal email system and maintaining the various iterations of Secretary Clinton's server, to staff members with whom she corresponded on email, to those involved in the email production to state, and finally, Secretary Clinton herself. Last, we have done extensive work to try to understand what indications there might be of compromise by hostile actors in connection with that personal email system. So that's what we've done. Now let me tell you what we found. Although we did not find clear evidence that Secretary Clinton or her colleagues intended to violate laws governing the handling of classified information, there is evidence that they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information. For example, 7 email chains concern matters that were classified at the top secret special access program at the time they were sent and received. Those chains involve Secretary Clinton both sending emails about those matters and receiving emails about those same matters. There is evidence to support a conclusion that any reasonable person in Secretary Clinton's position or in the position of those with whom she was corresponding about those matters should have known that an unclassified system was no place for that conversation. In addition to this highly sensitive information, we also found information that was properly classified as secret by the U.S. intelligence community at the time it was discussed on email. That is, excluding any later up-classified emails. None of these emails should have been on any kind of unclassified system, but their presence is especially concerning because all of these emails were housed on unclassified personal servers, not even supported by full-time security staff, like those found at agencies and departments of the United States government, or even with a commercial email service like Gmail. I think it's also important to say something about the marking of classified information. Only a very small number of the emails here containing classified information bore markings that indicated the presence of classified information. But even if information is not marked classified in an email, participants who know or should know that the subject matter is classified are still obligated to protect it. And while not the focus of our investigation, we also developed evidence that the security culture of the State Department, in general and with respect to the use of unclassified systems in particular, was generally lacking in the kind of care for classified information that's found elsewhere in the U.S. government. With respect to potential computer intrusion by hostile actors, we did not find direct evidence that Secretary Clinton's personal email domain, in its various configurations since 2009, was hacked successfully. But given the nature of the system and of the actors potentially involved, we assess we would be unlikely to see such direct evidence. We do assess that hostile actors gained access to the private commercial email accounts of people with whom Secretary Clinton was in regular contact from her personal account. We also assess that Secretary Clinton's use of a personal email domain was both known by a large number of people and readily apparent. She also used her personal email extensively while outside the United States, including sending and receiving work-related emails in the territory of sophisticated adversaries. Given that combination of factors, we assess it is possible that hostile actors gained access to Secretary Clinton's personal email account. So that's what we found. Finally, with respect to our recommendation to the Department of Justice, in our system, the prosecutors make the decisions about whether charges are appropriate based on evidence that the FBI helps collect. Although we don't normally make public our recommendations to the prosecutors, we frequently make recommendations and engage in productive conversations with prosecutors about what resolution may be appropriate given the evidence. In this case, given the importance of the matter, I think unusual transparency is in order. Although there is evidence of potential violations of the statutes regarding the handling of classified information, our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case. Prosecutors necessarily weigh a number of factors before deciding whether to bring charges. There are obvious considerations like the strength of the evidence, especially regarding intent. Responsible decisions also consider the context of a person's actions and how similar situations have been handled in the past. In looking back at our investigations into the mishandling or removal of classified information, we cannot find a case that would support bringing criminal charges on these facts. All the cases prosecuted involved some combination of clearly intentional and willful mishandling of classified information, or vast quantities of information exposed in such a way as to support an inference of intentional misconduct, or indications of disloyalty to the United States, or efforts to obstruct justice. We do not see those things here. To be clear, this is not to suggest that in similar circumstances, a person who engaged in this activity would face no consequences. To the contrary, those individuals are often subject to security or administrative sanctions, but that's not what we're deciding now. As a result, although the Department of Justice makes final decisions on matters like this, we are expressing to Justice our view that no charges are appropriate in this case. I know there will be intense public debate in the wake of this recommendation, as there was throughout the investigation. What I can assure the American people is that this investigation was done honestly, competently, and independently. No outside influence of any kind was brought to bear. I know there were many opinions expressed by people who are not part of the investigation, including people in government, but none of that mattered to us. Opinions are irrelevant, and they were all uninformed by insight into our investigation because we did our investigation the right way. Only facts matter, and the FBI found them here in an entirely apolitical and professional way. I couldn't be prouder to be part of this organization. Thank you very much.
Well, okay. That was FBI Director James Comey yesterday at a news conference discussing the outcome of his investigation, or the department's investigation, into the whole email debacle concerning Hillary Clinton and her use of a private server and how she handled confidential, top secret information from those from the private servers and from the devices that she used that were linked to them. She was reckless, and her behavior mirrored the behavior generally throughout the department, but it did not rise to the level of criminal conduct, Director Comey said, and so he was recommending in turn to U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch that no charges formally be filed against Hillary Clinton. Okay, so there we have it. Now, as I said, every statement, and we are all reporters here, the statement has a context. He, in fact, said that the entire investigation, the context of it has to be taken into consideration. The history of such crimes has to be taken into consideration. Cases like it also have to be taken into consideration. That is called context. So he's aware of the importance of context, as are we. And we will now break down the statement by the FBI director as to what do you think happened there? What, in your view, was actually said? We know the language that was used. It was quite precise in everything. But what is very significant about the speech, about what the statement was from the official statement of the FBI? What was the significance of it? That's really, really important to understand. 888-874-4888. I'm looking for you to be as precise as possible. You listened to it. I'm sure certain things just popped out of this statement that he made, that caused you to say, well, wait a minute, wait a minute. I think you're contradicting yourself here, and there's some other concerns here. What are those concerns from your point of view? Let's hear it at 888-874-4888. Now, while you call, interestingly, I should note that at about the time that he made the statement, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton were both on Air Force One, and that itself raises some questions because the president was on his way to a campaign stop to support Hillary Clinton in Phoenix. That's a very interesting development and quite noteworthy, so that one can say, well, you know, let's look at the timeline here. If this statement is just being made, it clearly was anticipated because plans were made for the president and Hillary Clinton to go campaigning together. But the statement comes from the FBI, and we had Loretta Lynch saying previously, just about 2 weeks ago, that she was going to accept the decision of the FBI in this matter. And she will be doing this because it gives the appearance, the added appearance of independence. That you can call it independence. Back in the day, it was called plausible deniability. So let's go. 888-874-4888. Chris from Florida, what did you hear?
Good afternoon, Utrice.
Hello.
I listened to the statement. One thing they mentioned about her use of the emails, and that she didn't use it for nefarious purposes. Like, she didn't try to sell it to China or whomever. What they didn't mention is how the email situation was used to help enrich herself and her husband and their friends and their entire circle.
And how would they determined that?
I don't know, maybe just some basic research.
I guess so.
Maybe they could just listen to your show. You know, I think we keep it, I think you keep it online. I think we have access to archives, maybe. I don't know.
Yes, you do. 24/7. And you are absolutely right. Here is the director of the FBI. And, by the way, with the cooperation of the intelligence community, saying that they can't find any trails to any possible misuse of the information that she had access to on these servers. The question is, did they look?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Maybe the question is, maybe we have our terms wrongly defined, because maybe their definition of misuse is not the same as our definition of misuse.
Enriching oneself? He spelled it out. He spelled out the terms. He was real clear about what would constitute or what would rise to the level of prosecution with the misuse of this information, as it had occurred in other cases. He was real clear about that. But suddenly, you've been listening to this program. You've been hearing about all these things that the Clintons have done and continue
Absolutely.
To do and are not accounted for. And it is clear that it involves access to top secret information. And suddenly the FBI director is saying, we couldn't find any evidence
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, this is just another case of when you hit a certain tax bracket in life, or you have certain friends in certain places, that you are truly above the law. And I would like to add, too, politically speaking, I find it so funny that all of this occurs, and basically as soon as the FBI director says, oh, yeah, well, you know, we don't recommend that, you know, you guys press, you know, file a case against her, Barack Obama's holding her hand on stage. I mean, did
now,
he even finish
exactly.
his statement?
So, I mean, oh my gosh, Chris, you really have me bristling here. You're so right.
He didn't.
And the reason that we have the statement coming from the FBI is what? What do you think is the reason for the FBI director to be making the statement and not, say, the U.S. Attorney General?
Correct. So this was done. It was all a dog and pony show just to say, look, you know, even though it's a Democrat in the White House, we are capable of, you know, policing our own, so to speak. And
excellent.
We looked into this Hillary thing. Nothing there. Move along. She's not a criminal.
Exactly. You nailed it. If I had a gold star, I will put it on your chest myself right now. But that's perfect. Perfect. The reason that we are hearing from the FBI director is that we are conditioned psychologically to associate the FBI with thorough, impartial investigation. And this is a very serious matter, and we have the head of the FBI telling us what the deal is. So as he says it, we should just take it and believe it. Thank you, Chris, for getting us started today. Jose from New York, what did you hear?
What I was hearing was that, just like in the economy, there's some corporations that are too big to fail. There's some human beings that are too big to fail.
So but they can give get me away the specifics. With... We heard the speech. What in the speech itself resonated with you? What caught your attention and why?
She broke the law, but it wasn't a big enough law, or she didn't cause such damage that she needs to go to jail. We could just overlook it.
Based on what he said now, you're giving me your opinion, and I appreciate that, but based exactly on what he said, on just that alone, what caused you to say, well, wait a minute, this is not hitting me right?
When he said we found issues that were wrongdoings that she did, but we're not going to apply any law to that because there's no substantial evidence to convict it.
But why is that bothering you? What about that is bothering you?
If I did that, I think they'll send me to Attica or Antarctica and just get rid of me completely and make me disappear. But yet she gets to roam the streets and run for president now.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Jose, for your call today. Lewis from New Jersey, what in Director Comey's speech rattled
you? Good afternoon.
And
it's
why?
A pleasure, as always, to talk to you.
Thank you so much. Same here.
Utrice, I guess about a year ago, I got a ticket for parking in the no parking area. And I decided to challenge the ticket, and I explained to the judge that I didn't intend to violate the parking law. I still had to pay the fine. I don't usually quote Ted Cruz, but Cruz accused Comey of rewriting the federal criminal statute because it says nothing about intent. It doesn't matter a damn whether Clinton intended to break the law or not. She broke the law. And by saying that the Bureau was not recommending the Justice Department file charges because there was no clear evidence that Clinton or her colleagues intended to break the law, Comey is changing the law.
Excellent point. Well, here's what's also very important to keep in mind. All this time that all of this law breaking and departmental rules are being bent all over the place, and this recklessness is occurring with privileged and top secret and secret information, the very person, and this is where intent comes in, the person who should have raised that alarm from the beginning would have been the Inspector General of the State Department. And that person is actually the watchdog for the agency. That person would have, presuming that that person was doing his or her job, these things would have come to light very early and would have been the subject of inquiry by the Inspector General of the State Department. However, for the entire time that Clinton was there, she never hired an Inspector General. And that, I believe, is intent. She never intended to have anybody police her. She never intended to have any in-house independent auditor of departmental conduct, including hers. So she never hired one. That's intent.
You know, Teresa, I can't help but think of the book Catch-22, which says, you know, basically the title of the book comes from Heller's interpretation of natural law, which says they can do anything they want that we can't stop them from doing. And this business, not only with what you're talking about, with what the head of the FBI, Comey, says, I mean, what is really infuriated me more than anything is the temerity of Bill Clinton to have a private conference with Loretta Lynch, and then on top of that, to have Lynch claim they were talking about their grandchildren.
Yeah, and golf.
I mean, these people have nothing but contempt for
well,
us.
Well, you see,
they don't give a damn
you
anymore.
Have a very good point and a very strong point here about intent and about Comey in one fell swoop literally changing the rules and the law.
Yep.
And we have the statement coming from him as opposed to Loretta Lynch because it gives her what used to be called plausible deniability. In fact, he made it a point to say that he consulted no one on his statement. Excellent. Thank you so much for your call today.
Thank you. It's always a privilege to talk to you.
Same here. Thanks you. Thanks so much. Leah from Brooklyn, what did you hear?
How are you, Eutrice?
Fine, thanks.
I heard what bothered me and what stuck out was before the submissions to the FBI, the lawyers had the opportunity, as he said, to enter keywords into their word search to pull up certain emails that, you know, might have been considered for submission. And to me, he implied that they may have done something illegal, but we couldn't catch her. Now, had it been the average person, I think very early on, the whole cache of our emails would have been asked to be submitted, and the investigative entity, such as the FBI, would have screened our entire body of emails to find out what was personal, might have risen to the level of criminality. So I think that the whole thing that where the lawyers had the opportunity to screen the emails before submission, that stuck out to me. She might have done something, but we just couldn't get her.
Correct. He in fact said, the lawyers, and I'm quoting exactly from his statement, the lawyers cleaned their devices in such a way as to preclude complete forensic recovery. Now, what does that mean?
Well, that means that, I mean, exactly what we said. Well, you know, they got away with it, so you can't blame us. We have to blame the lawyers. And, you know, I mean...
And yet there's no intent.
Right. And I'm not a techie, but I know that there are ways of retrieving things from the trash bin or the recycling bin, whatever you call it. But, you know, they just didn't look. You know, these are chief investigators, but they certainly would have looked at ours, you know.
They deleted these emails, and there were thousands of them. They deleted these emails after these emails were requested, And certainly they had to have done it, yes, both at the request and the approval of Hillary Clinton. And yes, then we have the FBI director saying that the lawyers then cleaned the devices in such a way as to preclude complete forensic recovery. In other words, destroying evidence.
Exactly.
And he stands before the nation and says,
right,
now this was a very thorough investigation. Right. Well, Leah, you get the top marks for being detective here today. Thanks so much, yeah, for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Jay from Queens, what did you hear?
Wow.
From,
hey,
in his statement?
How are you, Utrecht?
Fine, thank you.
Yeah, I got to nail this one. I'm going to split a little bit of hairs here with you on this. One, by cleaning it up so thoroughly, or is in such a way of destroying the record, it would appear that she could claim that, well, she handled a confidential information in a manner that was appropriate, only she handled it on her private server. The nature of the claim or the violation, whether regulatory or procedural, according to the State Department, is you're not to have private emails or place any emails that are relevant to the State Department on a private server. So she's in violation of either a law or a regulatory guideline, which is subject to penalty. It's like, I broke in the house, but did I steal anything? You broke in the house. You came into the house. Whether you took anything is that question. You already are in breach of the law. Now, that's the one thing. Giving her, now they said that she dumped the file, that the lawyers cleaned the files in a way as to remove as if it was a jigsaw puzzle, removing the frame so that the puzzle exists, but you can't frame it so you don't know how to put it back together. That's an interesting way of splitting hairs too. But the first and foremost thing is she did break what I believe is the law and a regulatory as to handling information. The second thing is, by giving, by the Attorney General ceding her responsibility as the prosecutor to the top cop, is just inconsistent with any practice in law at any state or federal level. The Attorney General is there to prosecute if a crime is being found. And that's for them to determine, not for Comey as the investigator to determine a crime, but he's to present the evidence, then the Attorney General. But to defer for Lynch to defer to Comey is oxymoronic. And in fact, going further than that, Comey is the same guy who went before Congress and said, oh, we don't collect metadata, right? So his credibility shot long ago. That's 2 years ago, I believe, about what he said about it, collecting metadata on the American public. So this is simply a whitewash, another, you know, Clinton-esque move. And yeah, they're all in agreement. And then yes, the Republicans, I have contempt for the Republicans in general, but both parties. I mean, let's be clear, they're going to cover their tracks. And the Clintons, Donald is right. I mean, Donald is a crook, and he's a narcissist and all of that. But we have the worst two candidates right now, and we've got to look at other options.
By the way, just to add on to your point, the FBI director never said who else was involved and who else might, through Hillary Clinton, might have had access to top secret information. Were they cleared for it? Were they allowed by law to have access to that? Including her lawyers, by the way. They are her lawyers, but they're not people who should necessarily have access to this information.
The consultants who cleaned the data and serviced the server are in question as to who they are.
He's saying this is all limited to Hillary Clinton, and there are a couple of people in the staff and so forth. But we have no idea here about who exactly had access to this information that Hillary Clinton gave permission to. We have no idea of how many servers there were, where they were, who had them, who operated them, who had access to them. And were they cleared? Again, all of this is happening in the absence of an inspector general for the agency, which Hillary Clinton made clear she was not going to have one. She did not have one in that agency. There was no watchdog in that agency for her entire time as Secretary of State. So
I thought there was some inquiry into her email, into the email, and that she stonewalled her staff, stonewalled even her own bureau, and when they made inquiries into that, into her email.
Thank you so much for your call. Is this Eric? Eric, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air, Eric.
All right. So,
what did you hear from the statement by FBI Director Comey today?
The most, just wanted to comment on the bow that he tied on top of everything. He said, no reasonable attorney would press charges or something to that effect, which means if you know what's good for you on this plantation system, you wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole.
Or if you do, now here's the FBI director. His job is simply investigation. His job is not prosecution. And technically, the U.S. Attorney General is his boss. But he has made a definitive statement. I'm glad you raised that. No reasonable prosecutor will bring a case against Hillary Clinton. So if Loretta Lynch decided, in fact, to bring a case, he has already made a definitive statement that whoever should dare to prosecute Hillary Clinton is, in fact, being unreasonable. What an interesting thing to say. Prosecutions
yes, it
is. Are not his job. Investigating is his job. Excellent point. Excellent point. I'm telling you, you guys are on fire today. Speaking of which, we have Frank from Philly. You're on the air.
I just,
hello?
There was one, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I was, speaking of fire, I am on fire. I did notice one thing that Comey said in the recording that you played that stuck out to me. He said it after he said about all the things that she did wrong, that that perhaps, I think he said, they could have been hacked. And also,
right.
The people that she wrote to emails could have been hacked as well because of the way it was set up. So it seemed to me it was very deliberate on his part to do that, almost as though he were covering his own behind, so to speak, and to let us know that there could be further fallout or blowback from this. Because
well, you must appreciate how ironic it is that as he made that statement, even the day before, Julian Assange and WikiLeaks released tens of thousands of emails. So this business about hacking, whether it was possible that the files could have been hacked, I think that puts that to rest.
Yeah, but there's also the thing that James Petras, who I know that you read from time to time, he wrote an article about a month ago about her, you know, possibly giving the Israelis, you know, classified information that they didn't really have a right to. And of course, they're always spying on us anyway, and they've been caught doing it and prosecuted for it. So perhaps they know that something like that happened, whether it be the Israelis or the Saudis or whoever, you know, also because of, and I don't understand, I'm not a techie, so I don't understand the whole thing. Just the idea that the way she was using the servers was making access to the information possible to those who shouldn't have it, you know?
Right. And in other words, it is the question arises, is it possible that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, they had a parallel intelligence system? What were they doing with all this privileged information? And is there any correlation between the information that they had access to and possession of and the so-called works of the the Clinton Foundation and the Global Clinton Initiative. Is there any correlation at all? Where were these servers? Who had them? Who in the inner circle had servers that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton can reach privately outside of the gaze of the still not of the not hired Inspector General while she was there? So that's a great point that you make. Thank you so much. From Brooklyn,
Phil. Oh, you're very welcome. Good talking with you.
Thank you. Same here. Phil, you're on the air.
Hello there.
What struck you? Hello.
Well, as a professional software developer who's set up servers, et cetera, it's kind of amazing to me that they don't have a backup, because the work that she does is so critical. How would she not have a backup of the email? And most email is handled using a database. So even if they uninstalled the program, the database itself would still exist because it actually operates as a separate entity, and they would still have that information or would have destroyed it.
Well, that's a very good question, because even Comey says in his statement that although records could be removed from an individual server, that doesn't mean that the information does not exist. It would be stored somewhere, even in the Slack space, as he described it. But also, there would be fragments of it somewhere. It's just a matter of finding it. At the time, I guess he said, apparently they needed to bring this thing to a close at this time. They were working on a schedule. It had to come to an end at this time.
But I think he's just throwing that information out there, right, to sort of appease the public, because the people that know and the people that she probably would have hired to set all of this up, part of the plan would include a backup.
And interestingly, we should also note that the person who set up these servers has decided to has been granted immunity from prosecution.
Right.
That's not a good thing, but he doesn't mention it. He doesn't mention why would the person be given immunity from prosecution if there's no potential there that a crime has been committed.
Yeah.
And why would you give somebody who should be the target of prosecution immunity? And that's not your job. You're an investigator. So the Justice Department has come to terms with the guy who set up the servers.
Oh, yeah, but what I want to sort of get across to like the general public here is that in this day and age, no IT person would be setting up some server without a backup. I mean, it just like wouldn't happen.
Exactly. So the question is, where is the backup, and where is the backup to the backup? And why hasn't that factored into Comey's statement about what they did to pursue the evidence, not just what they were able to retrieve and what Hillary Clinton submitted and the swiped pieces of information they were able to put their hands on, but the people, the mechanics, where are they? Who are the people who set it up? Who did they talk to? Who did they interview? Mm-hmm. They're only talking about Hillary. And we need to find out the full cast of characters. Who did you talk to? How many of them were cleared officially to handle this kind of information, to have access to it? What is the relationship between this information and the operations of Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton's foundation and the Global Clinton Initiative? And are we hearing about pay to play, all these billions of dollars in play mm-hmm. from people all over the world who are after privileged information? So this is not yet done. Phil, thanks so much for that. That's good to keep in mind. And I'm sure we could look out for, I hope you're keeping tabs on that as a software developer, so you can give us an idea of where we ought to be looking as we try to get answers ourselves. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
That brings us to the end of our program today, but certainly not to the end of the discussion about this. This was just such an incredible assault on our collective intelligence yesterday. And it also tells us how politics, I mean, they've reached such a level of brazenness. Barack Obama, that smiling man yesterday, was a major player in this effort to save Hillary at all costs, even at cost of self-respect and pride. My God. So we will return to this discussion. And of course, we have Free Your Mind Friday coming up. But this is something that we will have to come back to and talk a bit about, because the Republicans now are going to have their turn at this, and they will raise questions that should be raised about this. Thank you so much for participating and lending your thoughts to this discussion today. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. Always a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye. We're giving us the run around. They're giving us